Hello, and welcome to another Paul Hastings podcast. We're joined today by intellectual property partner Gerald Flatman and off-counsel Gregory Morris to discuss a recent win by the firm for innovator pharmaceutical companies at the Patent Trial and Appeal Board and what this case means for the industry. Gerald, can you tell us a little bit about this case?
Well, sure. It's the first ever successful defense for a branded drug company on a pharmaceutical patent before the Patent Office Trial and Appeal Board in one of these inter-parties review proceedings before the America Invents Act. And we were representing our branded clients, Galderma and Supernus, in a Hatch-Waxman action against Amneal, a generic company in the District of Delaware, accusing them of infringement of these patents. Amneal decided to pursue a parallel attack against these patents in the Patent Office, where the standard of invalidating patents is lower than it is in the district court. It's preponderance of the evidence as opposed to clear and convincing evidence in the district court. And initially, the board agreed with Amneal and granted its petition, and it instituted these inter-parties reviews, or what I'll call IPRs at times. We went to work quickly with our team and our technical experts. We formulated a strategy that we thought could win. And we ultimately persuaded the board on oral argument and at the trial before the Patent Office that the patents were indeed valid, even under this more difficult standard. So we were able to persuade the board essentially to reverse its initial decision that there was some substantial question as to whether the patents were in fact valid. It was a big first-of-its-kind victory for pharma before the Patent Board. This is the same board that had been previously labeled as a death squad for patents.
Thank you, Gerald. Greg, what are the pros and cons to litigating this case in front of the PTAB as opposed to district court?
I think that let's start with the cons. First of all, it's a new way for generics to knock out a patent that wasn't available previously. And not surprising, the generic bar has been ecstatic about this and has started to use this procedure to try to knock out patents. Previously, as I was saying, that there was only a district court procedure available that, for generics to try to use to knock out patents. Also, in the district court cases, there's a much higher standard to knock out patents than in these new IPR actions. The bar is much lower in the new IPR actions, as Gerald mentioned. There's no presumption of validity that attaches, and that the standard is preponderance of the evidence to invalidate a patent versus clear and convincing evidence. The other con that is important is that these new IPR actions can be expensive. These were supposed to be a quick and inexpensive way to see if patents were solid, but as a result of parallel actions, that is, the district court action proceeding at the same time as the IPRs, because unlike these technology cases where the district court case is often stayed while the IPR action proceeds, in the pharma Hatch-Waxman context, these actions run in parallel. And so as a result of that, there's very likely not going to be the cost savings as envisioned by Congress in making these types of actions available. The other con is that it's much more complicated than just a district court case to have two actions proceeding at the same time. The schedules are juxtaposed on top of each other, and it's sort of like playing a game of three-dimensional chess. And so then let me get to the pros. I would say the pros are that things aren't really as gloomy as people thought for innovators, and the Oracea IPRs are a reminder that things aren't as gloomy as people thought for innovators. If you have a good, strong, solid patent, it's possible to prevail in front of the Patent Office in IPRs, even in light of the less favorable standard. And it favors lawyers that are prepared and that are used to litigating in both venues, the district court and the Patent Office, at once, in order to have the best chance for success, and in particular that it ensures that you'll have a coherent strategy in litigating these two actions at the same time. It also favors the new actions, the IPR actions in front of the Patent Office, are in front of PTAB judges that have highly technical background and advanced degrees, and so litigators who are arguing in front of those judges may get highly technical questions, and so these types of actions favor litigators who are used to these answering these types of highly technical questions, and also favors lawyers who are prepared for the litigation-like aspects of these new proceedings, such as deposition practice and particularly the cross-examination of experts.
Thank you, Greg. Gerald, what lessons can other innovator companies learn from this case?
Well, I think that to follow up on a few things that Greg said, that the primary lesson to be learned here is that inter-parties reviews before the board are winnable by the innovator. But by no means can we let our guard down after this big win. To successfully navigate these unique new challenges, you need to put together a pretty unique team. One, it needs to be experienced both in the district court litigation and in the nuances of patent office work, which are pretty specialized. It needs to be able to focus in, you know, from the very beginning on a winning strategy that's going to be persuasive to a board that's technically expert and legally very sophisticated. And it needs to be nimble enough to navigate these new waters efficiently and successfully over the 1 year from institution to trial of an inter-parties review. And that's a very compressed schedule compared to a district court schedule. So I think the lesson to be learned is that if you can assemble that unique team, these cases before the board are winnable by the innovator.
Great. Well, thank you very much to Gerald Flatman and Gregory Morris for joining us today. For more information about this case and to learn more about Paul Hastings' intellectual property team, please visit us at www.paulhastings.com.